The Collins English Dictionary describes the word Holocaust, or defines the word Holocaust, in this manner: great destruction or loss of life or the source of such destruction. I looked at an online dictionary and it described Holocaust as slaughter on a mass scale. Now, sometimes whenever we think of Holocaust, we think of the Holocaust that took place in continental Europe between 1940 and 1945, where under the Nazi regime, over 6 million Jews met their deaths. And over 1 million of that 6 million were children. But it wasn't just Jewish people that were slaughtered during the Nazi Holocaust. Many Polish civilians were slaughtered. Many Roman Catholics were slaughtered. Many people from Serbia were slaughtered as well. And unknown to many, many people that had physical or mental handicaps were also slaughtered along with them. And so the death toll was not just 6 million Jews, but many people believe over 17 million innocent people were slaughtered under Hitler during the Nazi Holocaust. One of the reasons why Hitler believed in the eradication of the Jewish people was because he had read and was impressed by the writings of one Charles Darwin. And he embraced Darwinian evolution, the same philosophy, the same theory that is taught in many of our schools. Hitler wanted to breed and to raise a perfect race and to eradicate anyone with perceived abnormalities. His famous book, Mein Kampf, which translates into the English, My Struggle, records this statement: all who are not a good race are chaff. All who are not a good race are chaff. And he believed and considered the Jewish people to be less than human. Whenever he became Chancellor of Germany before the outbreak of the Second World War, he passed legislation right across Germany saying that the Jewish people had no rights whatsoever. They were robbed of all of their rights because he deemed them to be less than human. Wasn't long after that before Jewish people were soon driven out of their homes and out of their businesses, and were crammed together into ghettos and towns and villages and cities across Germany and then later on across Europe. Many of them were starved, many of them were killed, and others, of course, were sent to the gas chambers and to concentration camps. But before they were sent to those concentration camps, they were ignorantly told that they were being taken out of the ghettos that they were now living in, and they were going to be taken away to what was almost a holiday camp, where they would all be given a much better life. They were going to a better place, and ultimately, it was for their good. But at last, it was a lie, and they were going to meet their deaths. Mein Kampf, My Struggle, also records Hitler as saying the elimination of the Jewish people, quote-unquote, must necessarily be a bloody process. The eradication of the Jews must necessarily be a bloody process. And over 6 million Jews, all because of Hitler's philosophy, based on Darwinian evolution, that the Jewish people were not quite human and had no rights, resulted in the slaughter of 6 million people. Now friends, this was Germany. And much of this took place in the lifetime of people that are still alive in the world. So it's not all that long ago. And this was an educated, intelligent nation, famous for its skill in engineering, that had Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi and Volkswagen, all of those great car industries, along with much mechanical engineering, much ingenuity. They weren't stupid people. They weren't Neanderthals coming out of a cave. They were educated people, perhaps the most educated people in all of Europe, and they all believed, the majority of them believed, those who supported the Nazis, that is, that the Holocaust was right. And it needed to happen. And what Hitler was saying was right. And yet it's very difficult to look back and believe that it actually happened. And yet, beloved, tonight there is a present day Holocaust in our world. Abortion. And this present day Holocaust, in just over 2 weeks, is going to come to this nation of ours if local government is not operational by the 21st of October. Abortion was legalized in the United Kingdom in 1967, and since then approximately 8.7 million abortions have taken place on British soil in these islands. Abortion was legalized in the United States of America in 1973. And since 1973, in the United States alone, since then, there have been something in the region of 50 million abortions. In the United Kingdom, last year, 2018, there were recorded, recognized, 218,581 abortions. And that's not to bring into account many parts of Europe, Scandinavian countries where abortion has been legalized for many years, Australia and New Zealand and other places like that. 50 million in America. Almost 9 million in the United Kingdom. Now, Hitler was responsible for killing 6 million Jews. But the new Hitlers, who propagate the doctrine of abortion, in the United States and in the United Kingdom alone, have destroyed and slaughtered more than 10 times the amount of Jewish people that were slaughtered under Hitler. And whenever you think of abortion as it now is viewed, it seems that it is based upon the very same principles that Hitler used to justify the Jewish Holocaust. Darwinian evolution. Life is not sacred. We are all evolving into a better species. We have evolved and we are continuing to evolve, and the best way to evolve is to destroy those with perceived abnormalities. That's how he viewed the Jewish people. That's how he viewed many Polish people. That's how he viewed many handicapped people. And isn't that the same in our world today? We need to have abortion because of perceived abnormalities of children that are growing in the wombs of their mothers. At least that's how they get the law through. But the greater reality is that the vast majority of people that have abortions have them because the child that they are carrying was not planned, is going to inconvenience the parents, is going to be a big financial responsibility, and might affect the career opportunities of the father and of the mother. The majority are carried out for that reason. Charles Darwin, or rather Adolf Hitler, believed that the Jewish people were less than human. And again, isn't that what we are told about that 24-week-old baby in the mother's womb? That it's not really a human. It's just a fetus or an embryo. In fact, it's even less than that. It's just pregnancy tissue. It's not entirely human, and therefore it cannot be equated with murdering a human being. The Jewish people under the Nazi regime had no rights. Just like the little child in the womb of the mother has got no rights whatsoever. The Jewish people were being taken to the concentration camps, and ultimately the gas chambers, believed that this was better for them and for their children. Just like the principle of abortion. And Hitler's book that propagated the idea in the first place is entitled Mein Kampf, My Struggle. And those who believe in abortion and the legalization of it often talk about their struggle, and their struggle for pro-choice, and their great rallies, and they're now winning the struggle. The parallels, I believe, are unmistakable. A child can be aborted up until 24 weeks. But a child can survive on the ventilator even less than 24 weeks. I remember a number of years ago, I'm sure it's 5 years ago now, little Chloe and Taylor, grandchildren of Norman and Sheila McIntyre, were in the Royal Victoria Hospital. I think they were born around about 24 weeks, the same date that abortion is still legal. And there they were, small, yes, but perfectly formed human being babies, there in their ventilators. Many are now arguing as well for full-term abortions. I understand that Hillary Clinton took that view whenever she was running for office a number of years ago. And then the next logical step, and some are arguing for it as well, post-term or post-birth abortions. So that whenever the child is born, if the mother suddenly changes her mind or looks at the little child and there's something wrong with it, she can have an abortion then as well. And of course, it's only the next logical step. What difference really does a few hours make? Or a few weeks make? It's still a child after all. But guess what? This new Holocaust is coming to Northern Ireland. If devolved government is not restored at Stormont within just a couple of weeks. You talk about blackmail. You talk about bribery. And I fear perhaps that many of our politicians are happy to let the legislation go through. And then whenever it goes through, you watch this space. They'll get Stormont up and running soon after it all goes through. And they'll be able to wash their hands of it and say it didn't happen under our watch. And like Pilate, they will wash their hands as he did on the day that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it and put the ball in somebody else's court. Whenever the reality is that if our government was up and running, there would at least be somebody with a voice to speak out against this great travesty. This new abortion law will be the most liberal in all of Europe. In Northern Ireland, abortion will be legal for virtually any reason at all come October the 21st. And I'm not sure what legislation will be in place to safeguard the choice of health professionals. Whether they will be forced to engage, I just don't know about that. What the future holds. How far our land has got from God in such a short space of time. Psalm 106 speaks of Israel's idolatry and rebellion against God. There was a time in the history of Israel whenever a wicked king by the name of King Ahaz destroyed his own children in the fire. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse number 3 speaks of him, says, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And that event and others like it are spoken of in Psalm 106, especially verse number 38, whereby it says, they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And the thought there is, the land was polluted with innocent blood. And it was all the result of a departure from God long before the events took place. If you look there at verse 21, it says, they forgot God their Savior. Verse 24 says, they believed not His word. Verse 28 says, they joined themselves unto Baal. Verse number 35 says, they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They served their idols, verse 36, which were a snare unto them. And then at last, verse 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils or unto demons. And in our land tonight, by and large, we have departed from God. We have departed from the Word of God. We have embraced heathen philosophies which are not of God. And the result is, we are worshipping the God of self and sacrificing our own offspring on the altars of our own sinful desires. Now, very briefly, I want to say four simple things about abortion, the new Holocaust that is coming to your land and nation. The first thing is simply this: the madness of men, or the madness of man in abortion. The madness of man in abortion. You know, even in the animal world, it is natural for the mother to protect her own offspring. You just try to go near a swan whenever it's got some sickness. You just try to go near a cow whenever it's calving or it's given birth. And you will understand what I mean. But now human beings are wanting the legal right to kill even their own offspring. I looked at the website of the RSPB, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, and it cited that in Great Britain, all birds' nests and their eggs are protected by law. And it is an offence to intentionally kill or destroy a bird's egg or a bird's nest. And that goes right down to the humble sparrow. And the Bible says that the Lord's eye is on the sparrow. And then turning round to that great multitude as he preached the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Are ye not of much more value than they?" In the United States of America, if you destroy the egg of a turtle, you face a $15,000 fine. Destroy the egg of a bald eagle, and you could face 1 year imprisonment. The Bible asks the question in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 15. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And the surprising answer is yea. Yes, they may forget. But God says, "Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee." We talk about pro-choice. The mother's choice, that is. But the little child alone in the womb has no voice and certainly no choice. We hear about a woman's rights. And yes, we believe in human rights and in women's rights to a certain degree. Of course we do. But what about responsibilities? What about the choice not to get pregnant? And then the cry goes up, well, what about rape cases? Estimates say that less than 5 of rape victims fall pregnant. And yet that's often the reason it's cited and results in the loss of millions and millions of innocent lives. You see, whenever God created man and he created woman and he brought them together in the confines of marriage, he said to them, "Go forth and multiply." And if we believed in God and we believed in God's word, there would be a lot less problems than there are in our world tonight. If we believed in the sanctity of marriage, if we believed in the purity of the marriage bed, if we believed that sex is a gift that God has given to a married couple and we honored it as such, there wouldn't be anywhere near the amount of questions and problems that we have tonight. The old Reformed book of Common Order, speaking of marriage, and we often read this during a marriage ceremony, that marriage was instituted for the lifelong companionship and devotion of husband and wife, for the mutual fulfillment and satisfaction of their natural affections, for the procreation of children and their godly upbringing, and for the stability of society, to which regard for the sanctity and discipline of marriage makes an essential contribution. You destroy the Word of God, it's back to the jungle. You take the Sabbath day and break it, You break the backbone of a nation. You destroy the principles of the Christian home. And you rip the very heart out of a land and out of a nation. I heard recently on the news that there was a cure for Down syndrome. You know what the cure was? A world without Down syndrome, abortion. I tell you tonight, that makes me sick to hear that type of talk. To say that there are people in our world who are so precious to our society and to our culture and to our neighborhoods and our families and our churches and precious to Almighty God. And yet society speaks in such a manner about them. Death penalty for babies, that's what it really is. And yet whenever you take away the personality of that little child, and it doesn't have a name, and you can't see its face, and you can't see its little hands and its little feet, and you can't see the little heart beating there, and you convince yourself that it's just a piece of tissue, like a tumor, that's growing in your body, and it doesn't really matter. Very easy to justify abortion, but I tell you tonight, it's madness. The madness of man in abortion. But what about the methods of men with abortion? Abortion in the UK is legal up to 24 weeks. Went onto a website just to hear or read rather about the development of a child at that particular stage in its life. And just before 24 weeks, one website, I think it was the Pampers website of all things, it said everything about that little child, 24 weeks, everything. Everything is in proportion now. There's nothing left to begin commencement. It's all in proportion. Everything's there. It just needs to grow. The fingers, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, the tongue, the brain, even the eyebrows, even the eyelashes, and the little fingernails. Even its very face. And yet, it's acceptable. Acceptable to abort. Even at 10 weeks, fingers, toes, ribs, spine, head, facial features, all there, all to be seen. And yet, one of man's methods in abortion, up until 15 weeks, is vacuum aspiration. Where that little baby is sucked out of its mother's womb. The process only takes several minutes. But that little baby is sucked with a sanitized vacuum cleaner out of the womb of its mother. After 15 weeks up until 24 weeks, a popular method of abortion is dilation and evacuation, where the surgeon goes into the womb with his forceps and pulls the baby out piece by piece. Think about that. The safest place for a little baby to be, warm, fed, nurtured, supported, held. You would think that would be in the mother's womb. But that's the place where a little child in this world of ours is most likely to get killed. As forceps come in and take hold of a leg or an arm or a neck, you think if you were lying in your bed at night and the fire service broke into your home and they used the same machinery that they used to cut people out of cars and they trailed you out of your bed by a leg or by an arm or by your head, would you think tonight that's humane? I'm sure many of us have seen pictures of those little babies ripped to bits and their remains thrown into the yellow bin in some hospital somewhere. And medical records show that those little children can feel pain. And this is happening hundreds of thousands of times every single year. I tell you tonight, it almost makes Hitler's gas chambers look humane. But it's so impersonal. We cannot see that little baby with our naked eye till it's too late. We cannot talk to them. We can't kiss the little brow. We can't hold a little hand. We can't feel its warmth, and we don't know its name even perhaps. And it seems so impersonal. Isaiah 59 verse number 6 says, their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction, holocaust, are in their paths. The abortion clinic is like the modern day death camp. And then, of course, there's the murder of the innocent in abortion. You know, as long as you can depersonalize the life and the identity of that little one in the womb, it really takes the cutting edge off what abortion is. It's just pregnancy tissue. That's what we're told now. Just tissue. Pregnancy tissue. There's no soul there. There's no feelings there. There's no emotion there. There's no personality there. There's no individuality there. There's no identity there. And the law can be pushed through on the grounds of fetal abnormalities. But the vast majority are abortions of convenience for financial and personal reasons. You know, whenever somebody discovers that they're pregnant and they go to the doctor and they get their first scan at whatever week that is, does the nurse ever talk about the little figure of that little infant in the scan and say, now do you see the pregnancy tissue here? No. They'll say things like, do you see the spine? Do you see the head? Can you see the legs? Can you see the heartbeat? And they'll talk about mother and they'll talk about baby. Because whenever the rubber hits the road, everybody knows that whenever a woman conceives in her womb, she's carrying human life. She's carrying a baby. And the Bible, the Word of God, is abundantly clear, I believe, that life begins at conception. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Same said about John the Baptist. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And whenever Elizabeth heard about the coming Messiah, that little babe, John, leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. It's a fact that babies in the womb can respond even to music. They kick. And then, of course, there was Samson. And before his birth, God had his whole life mapped out and spoke to that about that to Manoah and his wife. The book of Job, chapter 31 and verse number 15 says, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Psalm 22, verse 9 and verse number 10, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And then perhaps the most explicit reference of all, Psalm 139 verse number 13, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well, my substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. And so to kill the unborn in the mother's womb is murder. It's to take a life of a little child made with a body, with a soul, and a spirit made in the image of God, to grow up to know God, love God, serve God, and by the grace of one day to go to be with God, a life full of hope and a life full of potential. And the Word of God simply says, thou shalt not kill. And God hates it. He speaks of the little child and says, those who offend them, those who harm them, better for them that a millstone be hung about their neck and they be drowned and in the midst of the sea. You know, at least an adult, whenever somebody sets out to murder an adult, at least that adult has a chance of fighting back. At least they've got a chance of running away, but not a little child in the womb. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. They're there in ignorance. They don't know what's going on and how the mother's womb has become the murder capital of the world. But it's nothing new, of course. We think of Pharaoh, who wanted to destroy all of the infants in the land of Egypt, to destroy Moses the deliverer. And then Herod after him, who wanted to destroy all of the infants in Israel, to prevent the coming again of a deliverer. Infanticide, they call it. Very little difference. And yet, sadly, these abortionists, while they will certainly give an account, it seems that they care very little. Thousands of people the other week marched through Stormont. I'm not sure how many there were, but their voices probably will be ignored. Thousands and thousands have signed petitions. Probably those petitions will be ignored. They just don't care. Just like Hitler didn't care about voices of opposition against him. The madness of man in abortion. The methods of men in abortion. The murder of the innocent in abortion. But I believe as well there's the mercy of God available in abortion. Even for the life of that unborn. David lost a little boy in youth and innocency, a little child. He said, he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him. And I believe there's grace, and I believe there's mercy, even for those little children that are taken so young. But even for those who are guilty of perpetrating the whole thing, if there's repentance, and there's confession, and there's contrition, and there's faith in Jesus Christ, I believe there's mercy. You know, whenever the conscience is awakened to the awfulness of abortion, to the sanctity of life, it can often produce great guilt, great fear, great anxiety, and great despair. I'm sure some of you have maybe spoken to people that have been in that situation. I can testify to people that I have spoken to, and for decades, they've lived with this awful sense of guilt for what has gone on in the past. A past that they can't change. And sometimes they say, I know that God might be able to forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. But you know something? There's mercy. There's mercy with the Lord. We have read in Psalm 106, verse 38, about those who shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, and they polluted the land with blood. But it says in verse number 44 that he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. All of a sudden the cry goes up to God. What have I done? Lord, have mercy. And he remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Do you remember Manasseh, that wicked king of Israel? It says in 2 Kings 21:16 that he made his own son to pass through the fire. And he was brazen about that. He felt he had done the right thing. And then God afflicted him and chastened him and dragged him through the thorns And suddenly Manasseh remembered his God and cried unto God for mercy, and God bestowed that mercy upon him. Scripture says all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven man. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. So much interest does God have in the unborn child that his own dear Son was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power and ministry of the Holy Ghost. Remember the words of the angel to Mary, "Thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And she cried out and said, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The very Son of God took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul in the very womb of the Virgin Mary. And the Holy Spirit took of the substance of her womb and prepared a body for his Son to live in, to minister in, to go to a cross in, and to die in. That's the love and the interest that God has in the unborn. All so that he could go to a cross and shed his blood for our salvation. Friends, tonight there is a new Holocaust that is coming to Northern Ireland. What can we do? There are petitions that you can sign. There are some there in our church table. There are email addresses you can write to your local MLA, your local MP, express your concern, your opposition to it. Plead with them to do whatever they can to oppose this awful law, lest their land should be polluted with innocent blood. Friends, tonight, this is the spirit of the age in which we are living. And Paul said, as he wrote to the believers in Rome, Romans 13:11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed." Surely, this is a sign of the age in which we're living. And it's high time to awaken out of sleep. Do what you can. Raise a voice. Write a letter. Send an email. Call in. Sign a petition. Do whatever you can do. Pray to God, seek his face, pray for mercy, and pray for revival.